Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, it's an interesting thing that when we transition from being a kid and, I don't know, being a teenager to being a young adult and, I don't know, starting to maybe start life on our own. We're an adult. We're a big person. It's interesting something that happens that as a kid we expect to be disciplined, you know. Then we become an adult and it's like, well, nobody should tell me what to do. And who are you to correct me, right? It's just kind of an interesting thing that we, I don't know, evolve into or whatever it is. You know, maybe it's that we don't have parents, you know, looking over our shoulder like when we were at home. You know, they kind of watched what you did and what you said, and they want to know where you went and all those kind of things, and they monitored how much time you can play video games and all that stuff. And, you know, they raised you how to talk or how to act, and you know, maybe you got some of that, hey, you do as I say, not as I do kind of thing. Maybe they weren't always a great model of what we're supposed to be, you know, because we all fall a little short. It's an interesting thing. We get to a point where like, well, I don't need to be corrected. I'm an adult. Because, you know, we're supposed to kind of discipline ourselves, right? Now, I don't know how good you are or I am at that. I mean, I know how good I am at that because, you know, I deal with me every day. And allowing the Holy Spirit and God's Word to instruct us. I mean, the Bible says that God disciplines us because He loves us. I mean, understand that, you know, as a parent, disciplining our children isn't like, hey, I got these little people around me, so I got people I can beat up on, right? That's not the point, right? You want to raise them so that they're not spoiled. Now, spoiled doesn't have to do with how much stuff that they have. Spoiled has to do with they become rotten, right? They rot. No virtue, no character, you know, we don't want them to rot. We don't want them to be spoiled. You know, go home and look on the counter. I just threw out a bad tomato the other day. It was just sitting around too long. It started to get kind of mushy and wrinkly, kind of like this part of me right here. You know, never mind. I'm going to button up now. You're all staring at, you know, it just, yeah. It went rotten. We toss it out. So, you know, just want us to know that, you know, we still all need to be disciplined and instructed in our life. Hopefully not over the same things that when we were kids, you know. Hopefully we've learned to mask our selfishness and make it look a little more dignified. But it's still there, right? And so sometimes I still need to get my knuckles wrapped with the ruler. My parents didn't do that, really. But, you know, you understand the principle, right? How many of you went to Catholic school? Never mind, don't tell me. You hear the stories, right? I don't know if they're true or not. But get your knuckles wrapped or, you know, the belt comes off or whatever it is, or go pick your own switch out of the bush and cut it and make you, you know, all those stories, right? I don't know what was used in your home to, you know, undergo discipline by your parents. But, you know, we're still His children, and we're supposed to grow and mature, but, you know, I still need the Lord to kind of get my attention and wrap my knuckles once in a while. And it's a good thing, okay? It's not pleasant at the time, as the scripture says. No discipline at the time or punishment at the time is all that enjoyable, right? But, you know, you and I still need to be on a short leash a little bit. We need to feel his presence. We need to feel conviction of when things are wrong. And it's not that God's out to kill a good time, okay? It's just he understands, even in a greater extent than human parents, you know, we love our kids, and there are some parameters that help them grow and develop so that life will be good. They will conduct themselves right. They will learn to think appropriately, all those things. And so I just want you to know, as all of us as adults in the room, he might wrap your knuckles a little today. And I want you to know it's not out of condemnation. It's not that God's being mean. He wants your life, listen, he wants your life to be good. And part of this whole life being good has a lot to do with our relationships with one another. The way we communicate with each other, okay? The way we talk to each other, and really pay attention to this next one, but also the way we talk about each other. You better save that amen, Shirley, because it's the hammer's coming down just a little bit. Okay. But the way that we also talk about each other. All right. So in our home, Sue and I, raising our children, every once in a while, we would talk individually with our children, or, you know, we had four of them with 4.5 years, and so they were all in similar stage of life at the same time growing up. There's times you talk to one, or you just talk to two, and all of that, but then there were times that we, you know, we call in a family meeting. And this morning, I want us to have a family meeting. Now, those of you who are visiting saying, I'm not so sure about this, I'm not really part of the family, I'm just here visiting today. Well, you can sit in. How's that? You can sit in. And I want to read probably a handful of scripture verses this morning. And then we're going to, you know, Lord, allow the Lord to speak and make some comments to help us bring some understanding. And in Proverbs chapter 16, you're going to hear a few verses from Proverbs, it's Old Testament. They call it the Book of Wisdom. It's the Book of Lower Wisdom. Not that it's lesser, it's just that it's lower, meaning practical, everyday life stuff. So Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, I want you to listen to this. It says, a perverse man spreads dissension, right? Breaks things up. A gossip separates close friends. In other words, through the gossip, you bring seeds of doubt, right? And doubt and those kind of things, it separates people where they used to be friends, or they agreed on things, or they walked in life together. They shared, something came in that brought doubt, and other people can sometimes bring those things between two groups of people, two people, three people, whatever it is. Most of you have been living life long enough that you maybe have experienced something like that, okay, where, yeah, I'm not as close to that person, or somebody tried to work their way in, and, you know, and so we've had those experiences. This is the heart of the Father this morning that I sense and believe. He wants you to get along. He wants you to edify and build each other up. I hated it, still hate it. And I mean, I hate it when my kids fight. You know, when they're little and you're young, you kind of expect it, you anticipate it. They're kids, right? They're kids that came from our loins. So they're going to act like us once in a while. Okay? And you work through it and you know, you get perspective on it. But as they grow and develop and been around you longer, and as they grow and develop in your home, there is this hope attached to an expectation that it would happen less. And when it does happen, they've learned the skills, because they've been taught, of how to mend that, right? What it takes. And it doesn't take an apology, those should be given. It doesn't take an apology to get through it. It doesn't take an apology from somebody. That you might feel like that helps you, but really it just takes a whole transformation inside of me, right? I've learned to be like the wise man who knows how to overcome an offense. And as they grew to be adults, you know, I hate when they have a squabble, right? I do. It grieves me. It grieves me differently than when they were small. And the heart of the Father is that you and I, how we talk to each other and how we talk about each other, is a big deal to Him. How you treat people. Because the worship and the praise can sound really nice. And He's interested in that. But He's not interested in receiving that if you're having problems with one another. You know, it's like a person coming up to me, you know, after a church service. And please, you don't have to stop bringing words of encouragement to me. That's not the point. But I know, and I've watched people, and they've come up and, you know, "Pastor, thanks so much. And oh, what a great word. And you're so wonderful. And you're..." And it's nice, thanks. But when I learn or know the person, and I know that they've also, you know, spoken against me, or they did something behind the scenes, or they created some trouble over here, the little warning flag of the Spirit goes up and goes, "Yeah, don't let flattery and words deceive you, Randy." Now, don't sit here and go, "I told him that he did good a few weeks ago, and oh no, he thinks it's flattery, and oh, I'm..." No, please don't go on some crazy hunt for something that's just not there. I'm using it as an example, okay? Because we as people, we can hide behind our words. Listen to this. Proverbs 18. "Words of a gossip or slanderer are like choice morsels," get this, "that go down into the inmost being." How is it that our tendency, we are so drawn to some whispering little tidbit about somebody? Like this tender little morsel, right? Ooh, and it goes down in here, and we think about that, and we many times take it as if it's truth. Or maybe there's a little measure of truth to whatever, whoever said what, and it comes down in here, and it sits down in here. You know, I want you to know that things said in the whisperings of the inner room or the dark place will be brought to the light. And it's interesting, as the pastor, and it happens in a variety of ways, whether it's revelation by Him or somehow it reaches me. You know, the whisperings of people that bring detriment, not edification, that are whispered with each other somehow in the, I don't know, maybe in the lobby, maybe somewhere else, maybe off this campus, it's like the Lord somehow, in some way or another, allows that to reverberate in some kind of echo that this pastor hears it. And it's not so much that a fear thing for anybody. It's that he just somehow allows it, at least for this shepherd, to hear it, be aware of it. It's because he wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be good to one another. If you want all this spiritual realm and spiritual power, the way to really have that happen in your life is that you live a clean life. You and I are not going to wield his power when we allow ourselves to become a part of things that God hates. He wants you to feel loved by people, and he wants you to love people. And without keeping a ledger, like, I did this for them, therefore they owe me. Or you do something for somebody, and maybe their response to you isn't what you hoped or expected. Well, now the trap's been set. Right? I think I should be treated better than this after what I did for them. You have to remember that we have to be able to, once again, turn the lens, as I referred to earlier, turn the lens and say, you know, how good God has been to me. Have I always responded to him like I should because of what he's done for me? We're so quick to look through the lens from our own perspective and forget about looking from the lens where God looks through upon us. Second Corinthians chapter 12, I want to read this to you. Paul writes it and he says, "For I fear that perhaps when I come," in other words, he's going to come to the Christians in Corinth, he's writing this letter to them, "perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish that I would find you." In other words, there's some stuff going on. I would hope for better, but this is kind of what's going on. And when I get there, I'm wishing that you are in a better place or better condition or treated people better than what you're doing. And he says, because perhaps there may be some quarreling, some jealousy, some anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, disorder. And so he's, you know, however they're living and doing, news is somehow echoing to him as one of the planters of this church, the helpers, the father of faith to many of them. He's just saying, you know, stuff has somehow reached me, and I'm coming to you, and I'm going to find you some things that are not beneficial. I wish I would find you different than this, but given what it is. And so he's just saying, I know this, I'm coming, and now you're going to find me in a way that you wish I wasn't coming to you, right? In other words, there's going to be some rapping of the knuckles, there's some things, there's some instruction that's going to happen for these believers in the church because of some of the conduct of sin that is taking place. Because after all, we're supposed to be the living church here on earth, right? We are supposed to be filled with his Spirit. And we know that it's a process, it's growing. You and I are going to make mistakes, okay? It's not that we're necessarily hypocrites, because hypocrites, they say one thing and do another because they have intent in their heart to never really do that. Some of us, you know, we say things and we do another, but it's not with malice in our heart. It's that we're still growing and working through our faith and becoming better, right? And we still trip and fall and fail along the way. And as we confess, God has grace for us, in which we should also have grace for one another. So in Proverbs 26, it says this. Now, really, just clue into this. If you haven't paid attention to the other verses, would you listen to this? Enemies disguise themselves with their lips. Pastor, you're so great. And then, you know, over here you're whispering to somebody about what you think the pastor should be doing or shouldn't do. And I'm just using myself for an example rather than, you know, using you for an example or whatever. And, you know, they start sowing these whispering and these seeds that create doubt, right, about somebody. The sowing of discord. So it says, enemies disguise themselves with their lips. In other words, they come with praise, but underneath that, okay, in their hearts they harbor deceit. Through their speech, it is charming. Do not believe those who are like this, for seven abominations fill their hearts. Their malice may be concealed by deception, but their wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. In other words, true colors will come out. We won't be able to hide it forever. We can disguise it with our words. We can cover stuff for a while, but we are going to spill out. There's something that's going to be exposed. It's going to be seen by somebody, or it's going to be seen by others. That's going to be exposed in us. Okay? You can think that you're doing a pretty good job of concealing things. And we conceal it differently, whether it's by the way we look or we do some act of kindness that, you know, people see and we think that covers up what's really going on in here. That people are looking at the conduct, the big event, the whatever it is of this act of kindness. I want you to know that it's a terrible thing to use generosity and kindness in whatever way and to use it as a disguise to what's really going on in us. The Lord says he'll expose that in assembly. You know, Proverbs 6, 12 through 19, this is just a really great passage. Why don't you listen to this? Get this. This is so... It just when I read it, when I read it over different times in my life, it just hits my heart in such a heavy way because it starts out like this: a worthless person. Oh my goodness! Because we're on the page of thinking there is no person that's worthless. They have worth. They have worth. They matter, and they do. But in this context, we give away our worth. This person gives away their worth by how they talk. So listen, a worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger, with perverted heart, devises evil, continually, now listen to this, sowing discord. If you and I do that, we are removing worth from ourselves. You can't blame anybody else for this. When we sow discord, we lose value. Therefore, calamity will come upon this person suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are abomination to him. Listen to what they are. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and now listen, number seven, and one who sows discord amongst the brethren. One who sows discord. What is discord? In the simplest terms, discord is when someone says something or does something which causes another person to consider distrusting whoever they're talking about. Sowing discord is causing distrust in someone's thought and mind by what you said and did about somebody else. God hates that. You want to remove the Holy Spirit from exercising power through you, you start sowing discord. You are fighting against God Himself. And when you do that amongst the brethren, you are doing that against the Father's children. Don't mess with His kids. I'm just telling you, don't mess with His family. You know what this is like, right? You can mess with your family because they're your family. But don't somebody else mess with your family. I don't care how much you and your sister are going at it. You go to school and somebody picks on your sister, all of a sudden you're her greatest defender, right? I'm just telling you, you forget. These people around you, they're His. They belong to Him. I want you to consider something. When drama revolves around your life, now not every drama, but drama, and relationship conflict, and this kind of stuff. You know, it's easy for us to go, what is with them? Right? I want you to consider something. Have you somewhere along the line in your life planted some type of discord with somebody? Because we think wherever that happened, that's where it's going to sprout up, right? That's not how it happens in the spiritual dimension. We can sow a seed of discord somewhere, and it's going to grow, and it's going to bring bad fruit. It's going to bring fruit. I'm just telling you, it's going to bring fruit. And it shows up somewhere else in our life. We think it's disassociated, so we miss it. Have we sown something somewhere that has grown and brought bad fruit other places in our life? And we don't make the connect. We just think, it's that person. Now, sometimes it is that person. But why do we quickly look to say, what's up with that person, and we blame and it's all their fault? And we don't consider to pause and say, you know, have I sown some bad seed somewhere that has now grown up and brought bad fruit into my life? That I'm actually responsible for this because I've never resolved this and I still do these things. You have that kind of stuff going on? I want you to consider to look, we should consider to look at ourselves first and say, is just a sign? Is this just a warning? Is this something the Holy Spirit, it's showing up and the Holy Spirit's going to take this bad seed and get my attention and say, I need some transformation and I need to fix some things in my life. Because I have some bad fruit showing up. And it might possibly just be that I've sown bad seed and it's not just them. But the bad thing or drama or conflict that's coming around in my life, maybe it's not just them. Maybe it's the seeds I've planted somewhere in my life. Now we know that through Christ all of this can be resolved. And we can be transformed. It's not like we're doomed. But sometimes, you know, hurt comes our way because of the seeds that we've planted somewhere else in our life. And hurt, when hurt happens, we quickly think that it's that, how could they do that? That's it. They have the problem. And sometimes that's true. But we're quick to blame them and then to come up with reasons why this is them. Let us consider, have we planted some bad seeds somewhere, and that a flaw in our character is actually what has repelled people, that sometimes we get mistreated. Let me explain it this way. I'll use an example. You can use any example you want. We sometimes come up with a reason why maybe somebody mistreats us or doesn't like us or the hurt comes. I'm going to use women for an example. Don't get mad at me. It can be men. It could be a conflict between the genders, whatever it is. I don't know, a woman gets, she gets hurt, she gets mistreated, she gets what she thinks betrayed or whatever it is. And she'll look for a reason for that, right? Because we gotta solve it, right? We have to know why. They don't like me or they treat me like this because I'm pretty. They're insecure. They got the problem. They can't get over it. Or some other thing in your life that, you know, you think that they're insecure about, therefore they mistreat you. You can use whatever it is. I'm just using pretty as an example. And so we come up with a reason why they would hurt us, individual, maybe a group, whatever it is, don't like us. And we never consider that maybe even if they are insecure or not, it has nothing to do with you being pretty or XYZ or whatever your situation is. Maybe some of that happens because you're brash. Maybe you're aggressive. Maybe there's some other reason, but we don't look at that because that would be like, you know, our responsibility. Or we come up with excuses for ourselves that says, well, this is the way I am. So they should just get over it. What horrible thinking we can have. You ever consider that the reason you come up with why they might hurt or gossip or slander is has nothing to do with the reason that you assign to it? It's just easy to do so that I don't have to look at myself and fix what maybe isn't so great about me. And the interesting thing, the deception that can happen in some of this is we do some very overt things that are kind or generous or appears to be a blessing, okay? And I'm not saying that people just do this on purpose and plan this. It's just the result of some of the corruption that we don't fix that sometimes happens. So we do this stuff out of sometimes a very pure heart, but we do this overt thing and it gets people's attention. Now, you try to do it in secret and, you know, good news can spread too, right? And that's great. But sometimes we do some overt thing that says, I'm doing this, but this is the way that a person treats me or people treat me or the way they talk about me. And so we know it's their fault, not ours. And we look at this overt stuff that we do that in the privacy of our own thoughts, we think, you know, I don't deserve that. I've been pretty good. And therefore, it reinforces in our thinking that this is their fault because I've been pretty good. And what happens is we deceive ourselves into never looking at ourselves. And we use that to cover up a lack of character where we need to be fixed. Where sometimes the betrayal that we feel or the hurt we feel Not that God has done it, but he can use it for us to begin to look at ourselves, that he can perfect us, that he can take away maybe some of the brashness or whatever is offensive, and that it's not the reason that we assigned them that they mistreat us. It's an interesting thing how this unfolds. I've watched in humanity over many years. It doesn't make me the smartest guy in the room or like I've got it all figured out. But he's helped me connect some dots on how we sometimes deal with ourselves, how we talk about people. You know, when we get hurt, I'll just tell you, if we don't process that right, we will use that hurt as a badge of honor to ourselves that somehow motivates us to excuse ourselves and to give us license to now talk about someone else and sow seeds of discord that would allow the hearer or hearers of what we say or do that bring a seed of distrust about somebody else. God hates that, especially since he's made a way for forgiveness, and it cost him everything. He's made a way for forgiveness. He's made a way for us to be empowered to overcome ourselves, right? The power of the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, that we can overcome ourselves. We can overcome our hurt. We can throw away this deceptive badge of honor and not rely on it. He has helped us so that we can discipline our own tongue, right? And this can happen within the walls of our home, our family. It can happen within the walls of where you work or go to school. At every turn, you and I have these kind of traps that are set all over for us. And when it comes to God's family, we're not supposed to conduct ourselves that way. We got to know how to keep our mouth shut. We got to know how that some morsel that comes our way, we're not supposed to eat and let it go down and create a distrust about somebody or some ministry or some group of people or against someone else in the body of Christ. Listen, there's flaws in this room. There's flaws in this church. This church is not perfect. I know the pastor. Right? He's still being perfected. I've come a long way, but boy, I still got probably a really long way to go. But the journey's not over. But I'm going to choose how to make this journey. It's my choice, just like it's your choice. And so let him wrap you on the knuckles a little this morning, because this is his hope and expectation for how he wants his family to live. Right? His word, it edifies us, it builds us up. What do our words do about somebody else? Does it bring the seed of discord and distrust, or does it bring edification? We call this Bible, people call it the good news. And there's some discipline in it, there's some instruction in it, but it's good. It's good for us. And so let what God shares and speaks to your heart this morning, not just the words that came out of my mouth, let him speak to you. I don't want you walking out of here with guilt and shame. I want us to walk out of here and go, you know what? He loves me, and he loves the people around me. And I need to really step into that whole idea and understanding. Knowing that chances are you're going to get hurt, and someone's going to say something about you. So what? You don't have to let it derail you, and it certainly doesn't have to go down as a morsel into your heart and cause you to compromise who you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to be like, right? They're responsible for that. I got to be responsible for my response, who I am, who he's making me to be. And we're going to be a people who bring edification and peace and words of hope and words of healing. And I'm going to discipline myself so that he does not have to discipline me, right? I've got to judge me so that I don't come under judgment. So I'm going to have to discipline myself, and I'm going to have to watch my words, right? Because why would we have this kind of conduct among us? James in chapter 4, he says this. Why do you have quarreling and things like that among you? It's because of your own evil passions. I want to cling to my pride. They're not going to get away with that. Well, somebody needs to tell that person, I think it's going to be me. Or people need to know what was done and how bad they are and how hurt I am and how good I am. We need to distrust them. Stand to your feet, please. God wants you to be good to one another. It's one of the most powerful evangelistic tools that there is to reach others. Because the Bible says that they will know us by our love for one another. God hears what goes on in the inner whisperings of some place. He hears it. There is no secret from him. So be good to one another. Let's make the Father's house a really happy place. Loving when family gets together. Right? Just because you hurt doesn't mean, it's because you got hurt or disappointed, it doesn't mean that you need an audience. Well, I got to go tell people. Oh, there's a lesson in it, so I'm going to go tell a bunch of people. Nah. Nah. Solve that stuff in the inner place of your heart with him. And be a family member in good standing before the Father. Okay? Because there's people around you who are going to know you. There's people around you, they're going to trip up. They're going to make some mistakes. But you're responsible for you. That you and I would not become any of the things that God hates. We want to show the world how much we love each other.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.